You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Sluggish due to tight inventories, affordability problems, and harsh winter weather. The National Association of Realtors says sales of existing homes rose 1.2% last month to a seasonally adjusted annual rate of $4.88 million, a slight rebound after plunging in January. Sales are running below last year's pace of $4.93 million, which represented a 3.1% drop from 2013. This is USA Radio News.
Hello, my name is...
The news is sponsored by Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc.
Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they'll live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their own terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton, Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. They are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within your reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton, Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you achieve your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. That's 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Ameriprise Financial Services, Incorporated. Member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather this afternoon is mostly sunny with a high near 37. Northwest winds around 13 miles per hour. Tonight there's increasing clouds with a low around 19. North winds 3 to 7 miles per hour. Tuesday will be sunny with a high near 44. With north winds 3 to 5 miles per hour, and Tuesday night mostly clear with a low around 23 and calm winds. Wednesday, a chance of snow before 2 p.m., then a chance of rain, partly sunny with a high near 48, calm wind becoming south 5 to 9 miles an hour in the morning, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. Little or no snow accumulation is expected. Wednesday night, it's a chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low around 42. Chance of precipitation is 50%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch is possible. Welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness, and there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. In Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. We have no office. We work out of our homes, use our own telephones, computers, etc. And we try to do a couple things. Number one, we try to break the stigma that's attached to mental illness. We also try to help families who have someone in their family or are acquainted with someone, it doesn't have to be blood, who has a mental health issue. And we also try to help people who have mental health issues go on with their lives. We do this through a various means of classes. My wife and I are right now teaching a class called Family to Family. It's 12-week long, and it gives the people a chance to see what it's like from the other side, the illness, the ill person's side, what to do in crisis, medication, side effects, etc. We also run support groups for families because a lot of times there's no place for them to, there's no people for them to talk to who understand. And in our support group, somebody has either been there, done that, or at the same level they are, or have just started out. So it's very understanding, and everything is highly confidential. Anyway, I'm Larry Cartwright, and today we are very privileged, and I mean very privileged. I'm going to explain in a little bit to have with us Dawn Dreyer, who is a mental health specialist and a supervisor of Mom to Mom. Dawn, are you there?
I am. Hi, Larry.
Yeah, I want to explain how this is probably a little difficult for Dawn today. She was blindsided to be on the show. And I say that sincerely. She was blindsided. It was due to circumstances beyond our original guest control. She had a family emergency she had to take care of, and she left on a note saying, call this number and, you know, radio show. And I guess she was in a hurry to get to the emergency. But Dawn called me around 10:30 this morning and really knew basically not much about the radio show. And I can understand that. I mean, you know.
You were nice enough to explain for me, and now I get it.
Well, yeah, I just wanted to let everybody know that it's, how shall I say it, was a stumbling block for you, maybe. Hopefully I can make things easy for you. And so that it's not a difficult 40-some-odd minutes. But first of all, I'd like to say, how did you get into this line of work, Dawn?
Well, I have a sister with cerebral palsy, and I ran group homes for the disabled for years in Connecticut. And I came back to New Jersey. I did that in Connecticut. And I came back to New Jersey, and I started teaching psychology at my local college. And I felt like I was missing out about helping people, per se. So when I was deciding to get back into the workforce after my kids got old enough to go to school, I can't even tell you how I stumbled upon Mom to Mom, but very happy that I did, that somehow I got an interview for this brand new program that was starting as part of UBHC, at the time UMD&J, now we're Rutgers, but Mom to Mom was this idea of helping families of special needs children. And that's what I wanted to get back into because I had been out of it for a couple years. And so I was fortunate enough to get the job. I was the first employee, and in 2010, Mom to Mom was launched. And it is a 24/7 reciprocal peer support helpline. Our callers are parents of special needs children and adults. And the concept of our helpline is that you guys do everything for your children. Who's caring for you? Who's taking the focus of the mental health of the caregiver into play? And that's what Mom to Mom does.
Yeah. I think when we were speaking on the phone earlier this morning, I had mentioned to you that we have four children, and my youngest son has schizophrenia. And he came home from his first semester of college at Christmas, and he attempted suicide and got out of the hospital. He drank almost a two-gallon tin of turpentine. And doctors were amazed that he didn't burn his whole insides out, but someone upstairs was watching, and he didn't. He came back out of the hospital, and he attempted suicide a second time, and he wound up for over 2.5 years in the state hospitals. About 19 and a half months in Trenton Psych and about almost 11 months in Hagedorn. And when he got out, he was in and out numerous times. Right now, I have to tell you, he's doing very well. He has his own apartment.
Yay.
Yeah, right, exactly. He has his own apartment in Flemington, and he volunteers 4 days a week at the medical center. He is applying, and he has an interview it was Friday. For a part-time job. And
excellent.
So we'll see. I mean, if he gets it, that's great. If not, he still has the hospital to volunteer at, and they all love him there. And so, but
so I think it's safe to say that that was an unbelievable, stressful time for you when he was going through that, right?
Oh, absolutely. And so, unfortunately, a lot of the time, because of work, I wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'd be communicating over the phone, and, you know, I'd be in L.A. or something, you know, and my wife would be in, you know, New Jersey here in Flemington or Flemington mm-hmm. area. And, you know, and she had the other three kids plus my son, you know. And so if she had something like this mom to mom where you know, because let's face it, when something happens to a loved one, in this case, mental illness, okay, nobody, I mean, parents don't plan and say, well, let's see, when my son or daughter gets mental illness, I'm going to do this, this, and this.
Right,
you
exactly.
know, it's like, well.
Nobody plans a crisis.
No.
It wouldn't be called a crisis.
Absolutely. And, you know, I mean, it's all right, they plan that they would like them to be a doctor, lawyer, or, you know, an accountant or whatever, but nobody plans on having them disabled, whether it's physically, mentally, or having a mental health issue or any other disability. And it's really, there's, you know, now it's a little better because you got computers and, you know, you can Google this and Google that and all that jazz, and you can get help that way. This was 18 years ago.
Nothing that replaces that peer support, that support, face-to-face understanding.
Right.
Nothing to replace.
Exactly.
That.
And it's one of the reasons we run a support group, because a lot of times families don't get that someone with a mental health issue isn't going to just get over it, pull them up by their bootstraps and go out and, you know, get over it.
Yeah, we're not walking it off.
Right. It's not going to happen, you know.
Right.
They can get better. Absolutely.
Yep.
They can live a productive life. Absolutely. Yep. Look at Buzz Aldrin. He walked on a moon and he suffers from major depression.
Yeah.
You know, Winston Churchill carried England on his back for 7 years during the Second World War. He suffered from major depression. So, you know, you can go on with your life. I'm not saying that everybody's going to be an astronaut or a, you know, government official, but you can lead a very productive life. I have a very good friend of mine. He's almost like a brother to me, and he suffers from bipolar and depression, and he's a CEO of a major corporation. So you can lead a life. You know, sometimes it's difficult to get to that point, but it can be done. And that's why I feel that years ago, if my wife would have had something like Mom to Mom, it would have helped her the times I weren't there, you know.
Right. And that's why we came about, was because we thought we could be there for the family members. And we're called Mom to Mom, but by no means are we just mothers. There are mothers on the helpline, but we speak to dads, we speak to grandparents. We speak to foster parents and anybody who is in any sort of situation of caring. Siblings, I have a huge caseload that I talk to siblings because they're in a familial situation that they might not have control, but they have strong opinions and there's, you know, the care
Absolutely.
That's needed. And so it's from a sibling point of view, I can speak to that person and understand and say, I've been there, I've done that, or I'm heading in the same direction, but I got it.
Right, exactly. And even if it's the person calling, it's their child. It may not be a child, you know, as we think a child. It could be a young adult, whatever. But when you're speaking, like, you're speaking from experience.
Right.
You know, because of your family situation. So consequently, it's like you're not just talking from something that you read out of a book, you know. Not that that's bad, but the fact is that, you know, it's a lot easier to talk to someone if you've been there.
Yeah, you know? To understand the challenges of being in that role, whether you're a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, you know, or any type of the disability. Not only do we have, you know, we call them our mom specialists, but we have specialists that are parents of disabled children and adults, but also have a concentration. So we have an education specialist who was on a child study team for years.
Right.
And we have a specialist, one of the moms, has her doctorate in theology. So she's in a faith-based situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of our moms has a son who's duly diagnosed and actually serves on the crisis management teams and wrote the crisis handbook.
Wow.
So
okay.
Not only are we all family members and having gone through it, but we're all have some sort of specialty where we can help. Like one of the moms has a son and she really had to fight to get him into a supported living situation or group home. Excuse me. So, you know, we use her wealth of knowledge because she has done that.
Right, right.
And guardianship, you know, all of
sure,
that stuff.
Sure. And it's ironic because I had recently, the one lady, she's a doctor in Long Island, and I've had her on a couple times, and she is she's Dr. Oz's person to go to for mental health questions and such.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and she writes a column for Esperanza Magazine, which is Ask the Doctor. And Esperanza Magazine is a magazine for people with bipolar and depression. Mm-hmm. And she had been hospitalized in her late teens a couple times. She suffers from bipolar and major depression. And she treats adolescents and young adults with it. But she, like you, has walked the walk. Mm-hmm. You know, she's been there. You know, she has been hospitalized. She knows what it's like to have bipolar. She knows what it's like to be depressed. You know, and she's told me flat out on the radio, she says, I still get depressed. I still have it. It doesn't go away. She says, and she thanks her husband for, you know, helping her through a lot of times and so on and so forth. And I had this other lady on, and she had just written a book about getting well isn't always easy. And it was about binge eating and cutting and et cetera. And come to find out that she had an eating problem growing up and still has to watch, you know, out.
Absolutely.
And she had a cutting problem. So she's another one who talks to her patients. She's a psychotherapist, and she talks to her patients. But she's also walked the walk, you know, and she's not just talking the talk. So
right. And that's something that Rutgers takes stock in. Rutgers University Behavioral Health Care, UBHC for short.
Acronyms, I love them. Yeah.
Excuse me?
I said acronyms, I love them.
Yes. Yeah.
I love to choke on them. You know,
they actually see the value in that, and that's why peer support is a strong component of university behavioral health care. And they actually employ people in their behavioral health care to address mental health needs of people that have been through it. So that there's an understanding. So that, you know, we're very thankful for Rutgers for acknowledging the needs.
Right.
This is a big thing that they're acknowledging it.
And it's, you know, it's something that not everyone or every organization does, you know. So for them to recognize it and take steps to help people with it is a big step, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, yeah. We actually didn't, as mom to mom, we didn't have such a strong behavioral health care component until 2013, when the funding sources changed in the state of New Jersey, and we became funded by the Division of Children and Families, which has their funding source being Perform Care, which all of you guys know in the mental health world as mobile response and,
mm-hmm, right,
and other services. And that became part of us. And our phones started ringing with a much different component. It wasn't just about developmental disabilities anymore. We really changed our focus to encompass the mental health needs. So we were dealing with parents dealing with mental health challenges with both children and adults, whereas we had very few calls prior to 2013 in that realm. So we adapted as well and brought on moms and per diem healthcare providers, that's what they're called,
right,
to address those needs. Been there, done that, people.
Right.
You know?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, all right, let's say someone calls up,
mm-hmm,
okay, let's just use mom to mom. Someone calls up a lady or a man or whoever. What is the procedure then? Do they just talk, or are they screened?
We're 24/7, so you always speak to a person. There are no machines. There is always a person on the end of the line. So from 8:30 in the morning till 8 o'clock at night, you would be calling our helpline, and then from 8:30 at night to 8 at night to 8:30 in the morning, you would speak to a person who is part of the crisis center to ascertain, a clinician, whether there is any sort of crisis or if the phone call could be transferred to our on-call person. So let's just take your 8:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. When you'd call in, you would get a per diem healthcare provider on the phone, and they would find out all of your information, and then we would pair you with a healthcare provider that would meet your needs. So you'd probably speak to somebody who's fabulous, because everybody around here is fabulous, but then we would sneak in with somebody that could help with whatever you're calling about. And the majority of the time when the calls come in, it's something to do with their child. Mm-hmm. There's some form of challenge that's going on with your child. Very, very few phone calls come in and say, I want to speak to somebody because I'm mad, I'm sad, I've had it.
Right.
The majority of our calls come in and say, I am annoyed because the IEP wasn't followed. I'm annoyed because they were supposed to get some sort of therapy today and it didn't happen. You know,
right.
That's mostly what the calls come about. Once we're able to try and fix the immediate problem, then we say, let's talk about you. And let's try to get you help for your stressors. Let's see if there's a support group that would be good for you. And I'm not going to not call you, because we're going to continue this relationship. We call at least once a week, sometimes every other week, but we continue the relationship. We are providing peer support on a constant basis. You don't get a one and done.
Okay.
We're a support network. So you could be putting along and things are great, and as you know in your world, that things are great for a month and then crisis happens.
Right.
We're here for you. We're going to be calling and checking in on you and saying, how are things going? What can I do for you?
So you do actually, when someone calls, you do actually like do a little screening first, so it's not just, you know, shoved off to somebody who may not relate or whatever?
Exactly. We try to pair you with a healthcare provider who has a similar situation, so that you can truly get reciprocal peer support.
Okay.
So if you're a perfect fit with a person here who might not be here today, you get the option. Well, I would love to continue talking to you, but I have a staff member named Alicia who is fabulous, and I think you guys would connect. Can I have her call you tomorrow? And then if that's okay with you, then Alicia will give you a call tomorrow when she gets in, and then she will then have your so-called case, and she will continue to call you and check in and give you any help that we can provide.
Okay. As we spoke earlier, I do know who you're speaking about. Known her for quite a few years. Now, you also, from what I understand, now I've never been there, but I'm talking from secondhand information from the person we know, Alicia. There's cop to cop and vet to vet.
Yeah.
And is that all in the same room, or?
We're all in the same room. We're all in
one large room.
What they love to call a suite, but it's basically we're at kind of a call center. To give you a little bit of background, the way that this reciprocal peer support helplines came to be was about 14 years ago, Sheree Castellano, who is the director, was a social worker in an emergency room being married to a police officer, and she was seeing the stressors of being a police officer, both from being in the emergency rooms, because it's very traumatic, whether somebody's shot, when somebody's shot at. There's a lot of mental health involved in that. And having witnessed it with her husband, she actually realized that somebody who's been through it will be able to help somebody more so than somebody who hasn't. So that's where Cop to Cop started about 14 years ago. And we have retired police officers working on the helpline, speaking to current police officers and the stressors of the job and everything that comes with it. Because remember, when you're talking about somebody who's active duty, there is a lot of, well, there's mental health, there's there is abuse, drug and alcohol abuse, and there is suicidology involved in that because there is a gun. So if somebody is suicidal, these police officers are amazing about discerning the crisis and getting them the help that they need at the exact moment. So Cop to Cop was the first one that started. Then there were a few other programs that started around the World Trade Center and emergency EMTs and fire. All of those programs, a little bit came and went, and then Vet to Vet started, which was four New Jersey veterans that have retired vets on the helpline. And out of that bloomed Vets for Warriors, which is a global 24-hour helpline for veterans, whether they're in Afghanistan or here.
Mm-hmm.
And then smaller programs have developed out of these. Mom to Mom was her next program, and Cherie, who has a disabled child, said, you know, how about us? We're first responders all the time, every day. We may not have a badge, but as a parent of a special needs child, we have to do everything and anything, so we could use some peer support. That's how Mom to Mom came about.
Right.
Since then, we have had some other helplines. We have a helpline called Worker to Worker, which is for DCPMP workers. Do you know what DCPMP is?
No.
DCPMP is the new acronym instead of DIFAS.
Ah, okay. So yes, DCPMP, I do know DIFAS.
Yeah, DCPMP stands for the Division of Children's Protection and Permanency.
Right, okay.
So they got rid of the term DIFAS because it was connotated with baby snatching.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And so they worked it into DCPMP, and so we have retired DIFAS workers on the line speaking to current DCPMP workers, because that is a very stressful job in and of itself.
Yeah, I've had a representative from DIFAS on, and the first thing, you know, you say DIFAS, or what used to be DIFAS, and everybody says, oh, they take the kids.
Exactly.
Well, they don't realize how much more they do.
Oh.
And they only take the kids as a last, ultra last resort. You know, but the people, the public doesn't, and that's the,
they,
you know,
really
that's the problem.
Don't. It's really a shame because there's such a negative connotation, and they are an amazing organization that provides so much help. Nobody thinks that they provide help. They provide services. I know people that they have come in and they have bought mattresses for families,
mm-hmm.
and provided house cleaning and provided camp. It's unbelievable what they do, but they just, it was so negative.
Right.
It was so negative.
Right.
So some other programs that started Care to Caregivers, which is a peer support helpline for people caring for dementia and Alzheimer's, which is another stressful situation.
Oh, absolutely.
So these caregivers are on the lines. They're caregivers themselves for their parents and family members, and they discuss the stresses of every day with that.
Right, right.
And we also were fortunate enough here at UBHC to get the New Jersey Hope Line.
Okay.
Do you know about the Hope Line?
I've heard of it, yes.
Years ago, the suicide helpline was based in New Mexico for New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And they would get to the phone call sometimes.
Yeah.
Well,
it's New Mexico, you know.
That was answered sometimes.
Yeah.
So the powers that be over here at UBHC actually piloted for free a program to bring the New Jersey suicide line to New Jersey. And they changed the name to the Hope Line because it's not only a suicide helpline. The concept is that you should call the Hope Line if you have any of stressors in your life that are a little bit too hard for you to bear, so that you don't get to the point of being suicidal. So the Hope Line is doing an amazing job speaking to all kinds of clients with all kinds of you know, issues, for lack of a better word,
right,
but trying to lower the incidence of suicide.
Yeah, it's ironic because last week I had on the show with Dr. Brazario, and he is from Princeton House,
mm-hmm.
and he runs the first responders treatment. Cops, firefighters, EMTs, you know, that sort of thing.
Yes, our cops work closely with Princeton House big time.
Yeah, and he was a former police officer, and he was a police officer, I think he told me 5 or 6 years, and then went on and got his doctorates and got into this. And, you know, it's very, according to him, and I tend to agree because from what I've seen, it's very hard for someone who is a active police officer to say, I got depression, or I've got, you know, mm-hmm. An extreme case of anxiety, or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, it's like they can't go home and really talk about it.
Right.
So consequently, they'll talk to the bottle, or they may use drugs, mm-hmm. or, you know. And that there's a stigmatism attached to their seeking help in a lot of cases. Not all cases, but a lot of cases. Right. And their, you know, coworkers are going, oh, man, you know, he's this, he's, you know, feeling that way and blah, 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 you know. So it's very hard in a lot of cases to get a police officer to come out and admit that he's got problems.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why a lot of times they have... What's the word? Abusive issues with
mm-hmm.
loved ones and wives and kids or whatever.
Yes, very much so.
And it's, you know, it's a shame. It really is. You know, having, you know, just do what they do. I worked for a lot of years in the city, and I knew about 15 different New York police officers of various ranks and thing, and their job is not easy. You know, even when it's easy, it's not easy, you know.
I agree.
And
100%.
So, and firefighters is the same thing. You go in or, you know, pulling out a little baby out of a fire and it doesn't make it or whatever the case may be, you know.
EMTs. I mean, we're talking first responders.
Right.
Any of these first responders.
Right.
It's
just like these seven young kids that died in a fire.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I just heard on the news that they're shipping their bodies to Israel to be buried in Israel. But seven kids, I mean, you know, from 16 down to, I think it was 4 or 5.
Terrible.
And, you know, and that's terrible. And the mother and the sister tried to get them out, and they're burned very badly. So they may not even survive, you know. And it's just sad, you know. And so if you're a firefighter and you're in this kind of situation, it's got to have an effect on you.
Yeah. Our cop to cop program was in Linden both at the end of last week and
mm-hmm.
today to respond because of those police officers
right.
that had the accident.
Right.
Now, these colleagues have to deal with whether they're mad, whether they're sad, angry, you know, upset. This is a crisis
right.
for that community. And so our cop to cop program actually responds to them to help with that crisis management.
Right.
They're actually there today.
I actually happen to know 4 different police officers from Linden. I took a crisis intervention training, which is a 5-day-a-week, 40-hour program to try to help police officers and social workers and what have you get a better understanding of mental illness. When they get a call, you know,
right?
Better than throw them on the ground and cuff them, but try to talk
right.
them down, you know. And so, for the 2 of the instructors were from the Linden Police, and 2 of the officers in the class was from the Linden Police.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they wanted, you know, someone like me there because I'm a family member, and you know, so
right.
it's a different aspect, you know.
Right, which is great, and I think it's fantastic to have that.
Yeah, and you know,
perspective.
It is kind of ironic because a woman called me and she said her son just got back from Iraq and he won't leave the room. He won't leave his bedroom, you know, won't talk, won't leave the bedroom, you know, blah, blah, blah. And she says, I don't know what to do. I can't, you know. I says, well, would he talk to me? She says, well, why would he talk to you? I says, well, I'm a vet. it might help, you know?
Yeah.
She says, well, you in Iraq? I says, no, I was in Vietnam, but it's the same thing, you know?
I mean, right, right, right.
You know, different part of the world, but, it, you know, yeah. The concept combat, is combat. The same. Yeah, really. So she got him to talk to me, and we talked for a couple hours.
Wow.
And finally, I got him on the second phone call to ISIS. I'll even accompany you if you want. I'll, you know, go to Lyons Hospital, you know. And he says, no, I'll go. And I says, you sure? Can I trust you? He says, I'll give you my word. I'll go. I said, all right, that's fair enough. And he did. And he still goes up there for counseling. So I felt very good about that, you know.
That's great. And but that's, that was what you just did was reciprocal peer support, the
right.
whole basis of these helplines.
Right, exactly. And it's pretty much what you guys do all the time.
Yep.
You know?
Exactly.
And,
exactly.
You know, and I think that it's, I think it's awesome, personally.
Well, thank you. So do we.
Yeah, well, I would imagine. Otherwise, you wouldn't be doing it. But
yeah.
No, I think it is because, you know, I think there's so much need out there and not enough services to help, you know.
Yeah.
So I really do. I think that all of this is, you know, like this, you know, the suicide hotline and, you know, hope line and all of it, I think is awesome, you know.
They all are. Everybody is great. Mom to Mom is, thankfully, we started being only funded in Essex and Morris County for year one from the Healthcare Foundation, and then we mm-hmm. moved on to Essex, Morris, and Union County for year two, and finally in year three, the state agreed to fund us. That's when we got funding through Division of Children and Families. But we do speak to 35 other states in the United States on a regular basis. So the goal is that there's a need nationally. You know, everything's
mm-hmm.
always about funding, as we all know. So,
right.
you know, that would take a big push to have that. But it's definitely something that we are interested in taking Mom to Mom national.
Yeah.
Eventually.
No, it would be awesome, because I don't care what state you're in. You know, like I used South Dakota
yeah.
before. I mean, you know, it's not a highly populated state, but I'm sure there's people there that need help, you know.
Exactly.
And
somebody who's been through it.
Right, exactly.
Can say, you know, I did this worked, this didn't work, maybe it'll work for you.
And, you know, it's amazing because I'm sure you're aware, but the suicide rate for cops and veterans are higher than any other group of people.
Yes, well, that's one of the things that we say at Mom to Mom is that we hear what the cops and the vets are going through, and we totally get it because they have access. I mean, that's what it goes down to. At Mom to Mom, nobody's killing themselves because who's taking care of their kids?
Exactly.
Who's going to do their job?
Exactly.
Nobody. So
yeah.
it's not happening.
Right. No, I know. You know, and that's why it's so great to have something like that, you know. Do you find that there's a mental health or mental illness issue behind some of the phone calls you get? And if so, how do you handle it?
Not only do we get calls in reference to mental health to do with the child or the adult, but we very often find the mental health that they are struggling themselves
mm-hmm.
with mental health issues, the parents on the phone. And, of course, they can't deal with their own mental health because they have to deal with their child going through whatever. So that's we try to stabilize in any way we can the family member, and then we 100% work on the caller. That
right.
is our goal,
right.
is to get that caller, that family caregiver, to whatever they need, where they feel comfortable talking to us, and services that are available to them.
It's, you know, you had mentioned that from like 8:30 in the morning to 8 o'clock at night, there was one number, and then from 8:00
at night. It's still the same number. It's
still
877-914-6662.
All right.
We also web chat. So if you go to www.mom2mom.us.com, we web chat as all also.
Being someone who is not as literate as you, what is a web chat?
Somebody would click on the web page and they can actually type talking.
Oh, okay.
Instead of talking on the phone, they would be, you know, chatting online.
Okay. They'd have to be pretty good typers then.
Well, you know what? Sometimes when a child gets home from school, there's so much going on that they can't pick up the phone. And during the daytime, they're at work.
Right.
So they can't pick up the phone. But if you have that type of job where you can be communicating on your computer, we find that there are parents that do that, and it's much easier for them than picking up the phone.
Okay. I can understand that part, yes. You know, except if they type like I do with one finger, you know, of each hand, it's, you know, it might be a little long.
Most
it's not funny. It's the truth.
Most of them are phone calls, I will tell you, but we do web chat. There are some people that have a very strong accent, and they find that they'll be misinterpreted or it's harder to understand them, so they find it's easier to type too.
Which leads to another question that just popped in my head. Are there bilingual people on your end of the phone?
We do. We have quite a few Spanish-speaking moms. A couple years ago, we got a small grant for Mom-to-Mom Española, and that was to address the needs in Essex County, to more specifically Newark, has a very strong Latino population with disabilities. So we were lucky enough to get that small grant, which we were able to, you know, just parlay into part of our program. And so we have four Spanish-speaking moms on the line right now.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
And it's needed, again.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It is. It's just, you know.
And Mom-to-Mom is not only developmental disabilities and not only mental health. We actually have a grant through the Valerie Fund to help families dealing with cancer.
Ooh, really?
So we have two moms on the helpline that have battled cancer in their families, and they're able to speak to family members because they've been through that. And we just recently hired a mom. We call it's our sickle cell mom, because we found out through hematology that sickle cell parents don't necessarily want to speak to cancer parents, because cancer can be cured and sickle cell
can't. Right.
So to speak to somebody who's like, oh, my child had cancer, but they're fine, is very different to somebody whose child has sickle cell and will be going through crisis, and they use that term crisis too, use crisis management throughout their whole life.
Wow.
So, yeah.
It's amazing. I have to take a quick break. You're listening to Mental Health Matters, and we are very privileged to have Dawn Dreyer. Actually, her marriage name is a lot longer, but
I'll throw it out there so my husband's not mad. Velosin.
You can say it again because I missed it.
He got it. If he's listening, he got it.
Either that or he can listen tomorrow. You know, he can go back on a rewind. So if you just hang on a minute, we'll be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, I help students gain admission to colleges that are a great academic, social, and financial fit, where they will be successful, happy, and graduate on time with minimal debt. Email Diana at creativecollegeconsulting.com for a free consultation.
You know the story. Hello, this is psychic medium Trish Woods with the program Afterlife Real Life that airs every Thursday from 1 to 3 p.m. My co-host is psychic medium Jane Davidson from the United Kingdom. We have listeners and callers from all over the world. We're looking forward to hearing what you want to know about with metaphysics, spirituality, personal spirit experiences, psychic work, and more. From 1 to 3 p.m. every Thursday, you can call in or tune in, asking Jane and I your questions, your personal ideas, and maybe getting help with your own personal life. Afterlife Real Life, every Thursday, 1 to 3 p.m.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, ceremony officiant with celebrationofalifetime.com. I joined the chamber so I can get to know you and what you're all about, and I hope you want to get to know me and what I'm all about. Then we can celebrate what we can do to make Hunterdon County better.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
You shouldn't give for the accolades. You shouldn't give for the back pats. You shouldn't give for the tax breaks either. At Jersey Mike's, we think you should give for one reason and one reason only, to give. Come into any Jersey Mike's location during March for our month of giving and join us as we help support local charities across the country all month long. It's your chance to get a tasty sub sandwich and help do something good for the community you call home. And on Wednesday, March 25th, Jersey Mike's is proud to be donating 100% of sales to a charity right in your own backyard. Jersey Mike's. Help nourish. Help flourish. Be a sub above.
And welcome back to Mental Health Matters. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Dawn Dreyer. I won't say your married name.
Velusive.
See, I missed it again. Velusive?
Velusive.
Velusive. Okay. Yep. Did I say it right? Velusive?
You did. Nice job.
How about that? It only
you
took
must
me,
be a professional or something.
It only took me over an hour. And she is a mental health specialist, and she's a supervisor of Mom to Mom. And we've been talking about the various programs that fall under, like Mom, well, not under, but equal with Mom to Mom, like Cop to Cop, Vet to Vet.
Yeah, all part of UBHC Rutgers.
Okay, and you might want to elaborate what UBHC is?
University Behavioral Health Care.
There you go. I spent 6 years on a Hunterdon County Mental Health Board, and they gave us like almost a booklet with acronyms. And I looked at the guy next to me. He looked at me, and I looked across the table at this woman, and she looked at me and rolled her eyes, and I said, you expect us to memorize all these, you know?
Yeah, that's, I call it like, alphabet soup.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and that's why when we said before DIFAS and you gave the initials, you know, of the new...
DCPMP.
Yeah, right. That, you know.
Yep.
But it's like, you know, it's just the way things are. You know, everybody has their acronyms, you know, and I just, you know.
Absolutely. And you know what? Your mental health field and your NAMI, you've got plenty of your CMOs, community support organizations,
oh, yeah.
FSOs, family support
I understand perfectly. And even NAMI, you know, like, you
exactly.
Know, you know. But that's the National Alliance on Mental Illness. So, you know, that one
and
I know.
NAMI yeah. does wonderful, wonderful work, you know. Especially the support groups. We're a big fan, excuse me, of promoting support groups.
Yes,
you know,
and I think that they are very good because it gives the people a chance to come somewhere where they're not judged.
Yep.
Their individual case is not judged. We don't take anybody's case worse than ours or better than ours or whatever. They're all, you know, an individual's life, pretty much. And,
right.
You know, so, and it's totally confidential, at least ours is. I mean, I can't speak for everybody else's, but I know ours is. Like, if I can't make a support group one night and my wife goes, mm-hmm. When she comes home, we don't talk about it, you know.
Interesting.
Because it's confidential. I can't say, well, who was there, you know, because
right.
then it's not confidential. Then she's telling
right.
me who all
right.
was there and their story, and it's, no, you know.
Interesting, yeah. I didn't even realize that.
Well, we don't. I don't know about anybody else, but we don't, because it's just the whole thing. When we say it's confidential, we mean it's confidential, you know.
Right.
And just like we're teaching a class right now, we don't discuss who's in the class and what their stories are or whatever. You know, it's just not right. And whatever the class is over, it's over, and we, you know, block it out.
And that actually goes with mom to mom as well. We have even stricter, not even just, you know, the respect of confidentiality, but we are HIPAA. We have strong HIPAA laws around here at mom to mom, so we have to go by all that confidentiality stuff.
Yeah, an old HIPAA. Yeah.
That old HIPAA.
Yeah, they you know, in some ways they're good. And in some ways, when you have someone in the emergency room who's 14 years old and can say, no, they don't want their medical diagnosis or history shared with their parents, there's something wrong. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's, you know? Hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
So hard.
But, you know, that's the way it is, you know. So.
Right.
But we tell, you know, like when we're dealing with clients and they don't have release for the HIPAA from their loved one, we say, well, then take a letter.
Exactly.
And return receipt requested, so you know that the doctor or whoever you're sending it to got it. They probably will never answer you, but at least they know what your side of it is, you know, which may not be the same side that the patient is telling them. You know?
And I think that at some point, I remember hearing once, that if you can have a letter, like, notarized and bring it with you, it can, I believe it can override that denial in the waiting room. Double check on that one.
Yeah, it is, but it's a rare occasions. It has to meet a whole list of criteria.
They make it hard.
Exactly.
They make it very difficult.
Would you give the phone number again for...
Oh, I would love to. Our number here at Mom to Mom is 877-914-6662. And our web address is www.mom2.us.com. And you can web chat us from there. If you can't get to a phone and you'd like to speak to us, you can web chat. And as long as there's somebody in the office, the web chat is active and ready to go. And as I said, after 8 o'clock at night, there will be somebody to answer the phone and make sure that there's no immediate crisis, and then you get transferred to our on-call peer support specialist. So we are a 24/7 helpline.
All right. In the last 2 minutes or so, is there anything that I forgot to ask you about that you'd like to bring up?
Just that we are here for everybody, for all families, for all ages, for all disabilities, for everything. That's what Mom to Mom is about. It's not just one specific. In the state of New Jersey, as you know, the autism rate is huge.
Yes, it is.
And so the majority of our phone calls have to do with autism by virtue of our state. But so people have a tendency to believe that Mom to Mom is an autism helpline, but that is not the case. We really are here for every type of disability, every age, every life circumstance. And again, we're not necessarily, we're going to help you for the person who has that special need, but we really are interested in helping the caregiver, the stresses of being a caregiver. That's what our mission is. Who's caring for you? You're caring for everybody else. Who's caring for you? So that's where our love lies, so to say.
Right. And, you know, it's funny because, well, not funny. It's just a, you know, terminology I use. But we tell people, like, who take our class or come to support group, you know, if you're going to take care of your loved one, then you better take care of yourself.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times it just, you know, you have no time because of the work and this and that and the other. And I often tell them, I says, if you don't have anything else, you have an animal. Take the dog for a walk.
Right.
You know? And it doesn't have to be 4 hours. It can be, you know, 15 minutes. It's just something to get you back to normally, you know, normality, you know.
Right. Well, you know, it's if you read these stresses, books and they talk about, you know, doing this and doing that. A lot of the times if your child, your husband, your whomever is going through a crisis, you know, taking a walk isn't,
right.
know,
exactly.
at the time. You have to find what works for you. You know, it's all
sure.
about
whatever
you
works
know
for you.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I mean, if,
exactly.
if it's reading a chapter in a book or, you
yep.
know,
exactly. You
have whatever
to, you
works.
You have to find whatever works for you.
You know, do a puzzle if that's what.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, I one of the things that many moons ago when I went to college, I had read that book called Anatomy of an Illness. And
mm-hmm.
it was the study of how laughter and watching funny shows have proven to actually promote wellness. And so one of the things when I talk to some of my parents that are, you know, either depressed or borderline, and I say, you know, what brings you joy? What can make you laugh? What can make you escape? A lot of times, funny television shows, funny movies, they
sure.
work amazing.
Right. That's right. Dawn, the time flew by.
Yes, it did.
See that? I told you that on the phone. It would fly
you
by.
Did. I didn't believe you.
I know you didn't, but it did. Real quickly, in the last 10 seconds, just give your phone number again that people can reach out.
Sure. 877-914-6662. Mom to mom.
Okay. And thank you so much, Dawn, for
thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks
okay?
so much.
Take
okay,
care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to Mental Health Matters, folks, and we will be next week back again, 2 to 3. And remember, mental health does matter.
USA Radio News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Ted Cruz has kicked off the first major campaign for president. The Texas senator made the announcement this morning at Liberty University. During his speech, he talked about wanting to restore the American dream.
The idea that the revolutionary idea that this country was founded upon, which is that our rights, they don't come from man. They come from God Almighty.
He talked about a variety of issues, including repealing Obamacare and Common Core, and he says his presidency would usher in real immigration reform.
Instead of the lawlessness and the president's unconstitutional executive amnesty, imagine a president that finally secures the borders.
Other Republicans, including Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, are expected to launch their campaign soon, too. This is USA Radio News.
Parents may want to think twice about leaving that medicine where little kids can get to it. Boynton Centers receive more than 1,000 calls every day about a young child getting into medicine or taking too much. And while those numbers are alarming, the most surprising insight from a new study by Safe Kids Worldwide with support from McNeil Consumer Healthcare reveals that teens are also at risk for unintentional medicine poisoning, and in fact, their errors are more likely to lead to serious outcomes. Safe Kids President and CEO Kate Carr.
Even teens who need to take medicine daily may make mistakes. Sometimes they forget to take a dose, then they double up. Or they might take two medicines with the same ingredient. It's important for parents to check in with teens regularly about taking medicine responsibly.
The most common medicines that result in serious medical issues for teens include those used to treat mental health conditions and ADHD. To view the full study, visit safekids.org. I'm Alex Verde reporting.
The fighting continues in Yemen, and it's feared the country is on the brink of civil war. Houthi Shiite rebels, reportedly backed by Iran, have taken control over much of the north. ISIS and Al-Qaeda affiliates are also taking advantage of the chaos. The Houthis took over the presidential palace a few months ago, forcing the president to flee to another city. Many are fearful the fighting could spill over to neighboring countries. U.S. home sales picked up slightly in February, but remain sluggish due to tight inventories, affordability problems, and the harsh winter weather, according to Lawrence Yoon, chief economist for the National Association of Realtors.
Home sales are moderately improved. It's likely to continue to improve as the month proceed given the economic background, but we need more inventory. So without the inventory, prices could rise a little too fast.
The median home price rose 7.5% over the past 12 months to $202,600. The stock market was mixed in early trading. The S&P opened slightly higher. The NASDAQ is within range of its all-time high. This is USA Radio News.
Did you get a new job last year? Or did you not get a new job because on the way to the interview you remembered you're terrible at interviews, so you hired a guy off the internet to do the interview for you and didn't really think it through because he got the job and is now very happy in his new position? Huh. No matter what you went through last year, answering questions like, did you get a new job, is much simpler.